sir, before we get started, what is your name, sir?
I'm Jimmy Williams.
Okay, Mr. Williams, let's see who might be conducting the hearing at this time, sir. The Honorable Mr. Johnson will serve as a lead for your hearing, so just hang on. The next person you will hear will be that of the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, sir.
Okay.
Good morning, sir. Could you please just state your full name, your ADC number for us for the record?
Jimmy Williams, 167661.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Williams. So you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing this morning. To my far left is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's on board chair. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I am going to be acting as your panel lead today. Also with us today, sir, representing the Department of Correction is Mr. Turner. He represents the Department of Correction as well as the parole officer. Mr. Williams, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form notifying you of this hearing today, sir?
Yes.
Okay, on that form, it also notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to represent you at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, Mr. Williams?
I'm representing myself, sir.
All right, sir, at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Turner in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do.
I do, and then you make an amendment to the
order. Okay, Mr. Turner.
All right, on the front page, within the condition itself, after the address, the Arizona 85007, it should say on or about
6/25/2018. Okay. Mr. Williams, do you understand the amendment they made to the warrant?
Excuse me?
Do you understand the amendment that was made to your warrant?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, sir. So your hearing is going to be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of the community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we'll determine whether we should revoke or reinstate your community supervision. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have one allegation listed on your warrant. I'm going to read that allegation to you. When I read you the allegation, I need you to state whether it's true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes.
The allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 3, as demonstrated by the act of changing your place of residence at 230 North 12th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about June 25th, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. The defendant's whereabouts are unknown, thus he's absconded from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
It's true with explanation.
I'm going to give you, you'll get an opportunity to explain that when we go into phase two of your hearing, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so based on the admission of Mr. Williams, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, and that he may have lapses or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second. Agree.
Motion by myself. Second, Mr. Neal. Agree, Dr. Wright. Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with first getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Turner. Then we're going to go over some information with you, sir, and then give you the opportunity to present any information that you'd like to present to the board, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Turner.
Yes, Mr. Williams was released from ADC custody on 3/23/2018 and arrested on 7/18/2018 by Phoenix PD. No new charges are noted. He returned back to ADC custody on 7/18/2018 with an adjusted CSED of 12/16/2019 with 23 absconded. Current conviction, 2007, robbery, 12 years. Prior conviction, 2002, commitment A, count 1, criminal trespassing, first degree, 1 year. 2002, commitment B, count 1, armed robbery, 4 years, 6 months. This is his third term in ADC with a CUIR score of 4.4, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. STG information, self-admitted to being a member of the criminal street gang Block Gangsters. Prior terms of supervision, 2002, TIS release, arrested, new charges. Arrested on new charges, reached CSED in custody. 2006, TIS release, arrested, revoked by VOEC. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with drugs, disorderly conduct, fighting, threatening with harm, assault on staff, assault on inmate, and promoting prison contraband noted. Since his return to ADC, he did receive a disciplinary for possession of drug paraphernalia, where he was trying to remove a syringe from, I believe it was the medical department. Other arrest, 1989, robbery, California, probation revoked. 1990, robbery, California, probation revoked. 1990, robbery, California, probation revoked. 1991, drugs, California, probation revoked. 1996, firearms possession, adequate delinquent. Adjudicated delinquent, sorry. California, probation revoked. He has a GD score of G6, V8. Police contact was due to the offender loitering in the roadway with a group of individuals.
Okay, Mr. Williams, I see that when you were released, you were approved to reside with your friend, Candy Williams, at 3814 West Glen Drive. You left the approved residence on March 24th and moved in at Cass, located at 230 South 12th Avenue. This was the last known address that you had. Were you working during that period of time, sir?
Yes, I was.
Where were you working at? What were you doing?
I was a dishwasher slash short order cook at Cafe Rio on 22nd Street and Camelback.
Okay. So it looks like, sir, you were taking UAs. You had your first UA, it looks like April 30th. You had one on May 22nd, then one on June 18th, and they were negative. Then it looks like back on May 1st, May 22nd, and June 20th, you had negative UAs, but the other ones that I previously read were missed UAs. So what's the situation on the UAs, sir?
Okay, I wanted to address that. It says here that I missed three UAs and that I made three UAs and they were negative. The missed UAs, those got to be a misprint. I was tested three times since my release. All three of those tests were negative. I was never missed a UA on those 430, 522, or 618. That would entail that I was tested twice a month. And my color only came up once a month. So it's either a misprint or, as you can see, one of the missed UA dates is 522, and then it says a negative UA is also 522. So there's got to be a misprint. I was only tested three times since my release, and all three of those were negative. I've never missed a UA.
Okay. So why did you change your address, sir? What happened? Why did you, it looks like you were absconding for 23 days. What happened?
Okay, my guilty thing with an explanation. My first address was approved with my wife, Candy Williams. Once I arrived there, I found out she was 8 months pregnant and her boyfriend was staying there. So I notified my parole officer, Ms. Tivak, and let her know those conditions and that I didn't think it was a good place for me to be. She told me, okay, where are you going? What are you going to do? I gave her an address and the phone number of a friend. Ms. Tivak checked that residence, spoke to Ms. Brown, and that address was on Pueblo Avenue. She checked it, she approved it. I was at the address with Ms. Brown for maybe 2 weeks. Ms. Brown wanted something more than just the roommate, so I notified Ms. Tivak again and informed her, hey, this address is not good for me. This is the reason why. Ms. Tivak asked me, where are you going? What are you going to do? I then gave her the address to Cass, the homeless shelter. That's three instances where I notified my parole officer of my change of address. On the day that they told me I had to leave CAS, I notified PVAC again and let her know through text message, hey, they're telling me I must leave and I can't return. I don't know where I'm going right now, but this phone number that I'm calling you from is where you can leave a message because my phone was stolen. I notified or contacted PVAC maybe four times since June 25th of my whereabouts and my conditions and what I was going through. So the violation of change of address, again, that's three instances where I did notify her of what was going on with me and where I was staying.
Mr. Turner.
Yes, I'd like to provide a little bit of information from OMS notes. I will keep it brief. The missed UAs that are noted are UAs where his cover was called and he failed to drop. When the PO called him and told him to drop, then he went and dropped. So the missed UAs are the fact that he missed the cover code or didn't call. When he was contacted that he had missed, he did go drop. Okay. As far as the addresses, he did contact her on the first couple. She gave him several opportunities to house other places before CAS, and he refused to accept any of those. On 7/3/18, CCO PVAC went to the offenders. Let me back up just a minute, sorry. On 6/25/18, the offender sent a text message to his assigned officer stating that he was kicked out of CAS due to threatening one of the workers. CCO PVAC attempted to call the offender without success. On 7/3/18, CCO PVAC went to the offender's last known address and spoke with the manager at CAS who confirmed the offender was no longer residing there. The manager did not give any other information. A violation letter was left for the offender to report to Black Canyon Regional Point Officer on 7/5/18. If he failed to return, the offender failed to report or return back. Absconder warrant was requested. On 7/17, CCO PVAC again attempted to contact, text the offender on numerous occasions without success. On 7/12/2018, CCO PVAC called the offender's friend Candy without success. On 7/12/2018, CCO PVAC called Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and the offender was not in custody. So he did not make contact with the PO. The PO did try several times to contact and offered him several places to reside.
Okay. So, Mr. Williams, why didn't you go into the PO's office? You said you called and just left a message, but why didn't you go in there and contact him?
And to that, I have no defense. Okay. Now that I'm here, I tell myself, James, that's what you should have did. You should have went into the office. But everything else, all those calls, all those contacts made from me to her, we were scheduled to meet once a month. I never missed a month. At this time, when I was kicked out of the homeless shelter, I felt enough time hasn't elapsed yet for me to have to go in on the once-a-month visit. So my intentions were to go in and let her know, hey, I'm ready to hash out a place that you have for me to stay because I've exhausted all my remedies. So for that, I have no excuse. I should have went in. Instead, I called. I left text messages. I left voice messages. But as far as everything else, I feel I crossed my T's and dotted my I's. I held the job. I had no police contact. I didn't use drugs, didn't commit new crimes. I feel my stay in prison is over. My time for prison is over. I'm at the 50-year mark, and I'm just done with it. I've done everything I thought was appropriate to stay out on parole. To go into the office should have been my move. I know that now, but as far as everything else, I notified him. I did my best, but I should have tried harder. I should have went into the office.
So, Ryan, will you call him and check on the UA, sir?
Excuse me?
Will you call in to check to see when we were supposed to take your hearings?
Yes, yes. When I was first released, I purchased the phone. I was able to call and check my color every day. My phone was stolen, so now I'm scrambling to check this color. A couple of times, Ms. Tivak let me know, Williams, your color came up, you didn't go in. At that moment, I went in to test it, to do the test for the UA. So yes, those are the missed UAs because I missed the color on that day. But the following day, when I contacted Ms. Tivak, borrowing the phone, using the homeless shelter phone, because I know how important that is, and that's what I was doing. Borrowing phones, using homeless shelter phones, pay phones. And she let me know, hey, you missed the UA yesterday, your color came. I immediately went down and took the UA. It wasn't because I was neglecting to do it, it's hard out there. I mean, after being in prison for 10 and a half years, it's hard out there, it ain't easy. But I didn't let that deter me from the plan I had. I still made sure I made those UAs. I still made sure I contacted her, whether it was my phone or a friend's phone or a company's phone. I made sure I did that. So I wouldn't have to return on something so menial as a change of address. When again, I'll reiterate, three instances I notified her of the change of address. Candy Williams, Edna Brown, and then the homeless shelter. She was aware of all these changes because I notified her.
Mr. Turner, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'd like to bring attention to his special conditions, condition number 12B that he signed on 3/23/18, which does state, if displaced or discharged from your approved residence, you must telephone your assigned parole officer by 10 a.m. the next workday. If you do not make contact with your assigned parole officer, report immediately to 801 South 16th Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85034, and see the duty officer of the day or Black Canyon Parole Office. Does not say wait till your next contact visit.
Okay, so Mr. Williams, how did you come in contact with Phoenix PD?
Coming out of the Circle K, drinking the soda, stopped under the tree. There was big shade tree. It was so hot. Me and a couple of buddies stopped under the tree. He stopped to use his phone. I stopped with him. We happened to be on the street and a step away from the sidewalk, and Phoenix PD pulled up behind us, asked us for our ID. I gave it to them, and that's when they arrested me. They said a warrant was out for my arrest yesterday. So that's how I came in contact with them.
So what about since you've been incarcerated, this arrest?
Okay, I wanted to address that. Me and several other insulin were doing our insulin check. I was accused of having a syringe, a couple other guys. When I went to the hearing, the nurse came and let the hearing officer know it wasn't Mr. Williams. They dropped the write-up. I was found not guilty. I don't know why he don't have that in his report, if he got the report of the ticket. I was found not guilty, I forget what day it was, maybe a week ago.
Does it say anything in there about that, Mr. Turner?
Let me double check. Does show as of 8/16 that it was dismissed.
Okay. All right, sir. Let me see if the board has any questions for you. Seeing no questions coming from the board, Mr. Williams, the board is about to go into discussion. So is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion, sir?
No, sir, that's it. Just basically, like I said earlier, my light bulb is on, meaning I get it. A man is responsible. A man is defined by handling his responsibilities. And that's the stage of my life that I'm at now. It took me a while, but I'm here now. And that's it.
Okay, so the board's going to go into discussion, Mr. Williams, as we come up on the conclusion of the hearing. While we're in discussion, so I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone. Have I need you to remain silent while the board's in discussion, we will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you under community supervision, okay?
Okay.
The board is now going into discussion. This was pretty interesting. Mr. Williams got out. He was approved to reside with his wife. He says when he got out, he found out that she was 8 months pregnant and her boyfriend was living there. So he moved from that location and said that he went to Cass where he was staying, and then he left that location and went to go stay with a friend of his on Pueblo Avenue where he was staying. And he said he was working during that period of time, doing a cafe, Cafe Rio as a slash dishwasher as or counterback. Also, says that he had been contacting his PO, but someone stole his phone. He did miss some UAs. He missed a UA on April 30th. He missed a UA, and then I'm not sure if it was the following day, but then on May 1st, he did go take a UA that was negative. Then he missed another UA on June 18th. And he went and took the UA on June 20th. And he also missed one on May 22nd, but he went and took a UA that same day, which would have been May 22nd, which was also negative. So he did miss his UA. He said he lost his phone and had any able to call in, but he said he's timed, and I think Mr. Turner kind of verified that when he was contacted by the PO and said that he missed his UA, that he did go down and take his UAs. I don't think he was really trying. He has 23 days where he didn't contact his PO. He says he understands that he realizes he should have, after he tried to make phone contact, should have went down and just contacted his PO, but he was being responsive when his PO did and was able to reach him and take the UAs. I don't think that he had relapsed. He did have an incident with the syringe, which was dismissed at that time. I think that Mr. Williams was having a little complications with where he was going to actually stay at. However, I don't think he was out doing drugs or committing any crimes at the time, although he did, and he was responsible for contacting his PO once he moved from one residence to the other, which was made very clear as Mr. Turner explained. However, I'm willing to give Mr. Williams another shot, and if he's learned, he does have a release date of December 16th, 2019, which is over a year from now. So I'm willing to give him an opportunity to do as he say, take the responsibility as a man and do those things that he know that he needs to do. He says the light bulb is on now that he's been reincarcerated, and I think I would be willing to give Mr. Williams another opportunity. However, that's my opinion. I wasn't going to listen to the rest of my colleagues.
I would agree.
Okay. Therefore, I am going to make a motion to continue Mr. Williams on his community supervision with the same conditions. I don't know if I have any amendment conditions that I would actually put on there unless the board has some that they may have. I am going to just make one amendment that his placement is going to be at the parole officer's discretion. And also, PO to start revocation process upon the first positive diluted miss unsuitable for testing UA. I think those amended conditions would be adequate for Mr. Williams. That's my motion.
Second.
Motion by myself, Second, Dr. Ryan, agreeing, Mr. Neal. Okay, Mr. Williams?
Yes.
Sir, the board has voted to reinstate you on your community supervision with the same conditions that you had, with some amended conditions to add on to that, sir. The amended conditions would be that your placement would be at the parole officer's discretion, and that the PO is to start revocation process upon the first positive, diluted, missed, unsuitable for testing, or unexcused UA. Do you understand those conditions, sir?
Yes, sir.
Sir, do you also understand that if you miss a UA, or you lose your phone, or you don't call in, that you're going to be back before this board? Do you understand that, sir?
Yes, sir.
You also understand, sir, that your placement is going to be at the parole officer's discretion, so wherever the parole officer places you, you're going to have to go. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Can you live with those conditions, sir? Mr. Williams, can you live with those conditions?
Excuse me?
Can you live with those conditions, sir?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Sir, that is going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you for taking the time and opportunity to appear before this board, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please set the phone down. Don't hang it up, and we'll get the next person.